Well, let's talk about God's glory, all right? Can't really even begin to touch how amazing, how glorious our God is. He is an awesome, awesome, amazing God that it's hard to even conceive. You know, how can we, finite, broken people, even fathom a great, eternal, infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God who not only has created all the universe, but fills all the universe? I mean, it's not even really possible to fully conceptualize. But yet, as we strain our brains and we look into God and we look into who He is, we get revelation. We begin to see some things unfold as God is enabling us to capture hold of who He is and to realize just aspects of who He is. And we capture like the hem of the robe, or we capture just little pieces and parts, and yet it draws us to a closer knowledge of who He is. You know, our God is great. That word obviously doesn't even begin to say it. And sometimes we just simply don't have the words, but we try and we go after it as best we can to describe this God. He's mighty. He's majestic. He's wonderful. He's beautiful. He's powerful. He is everything. The very works of His hands will leave us in awe of His beauty. How many of you take time to just sit out under the stars? How many of you can even, you may not even be able to step outside and see the stars because of there might be so many lights around your house and around your neighborhood. But what is it like to just step out into a place where you can just look into the heavens and go, my God, You made all of this. And to think upon who this God is, who laid out our galaxy, millions and millions of stars, so incredibly powerful, and how great and vast this universe is. God is great. And the great God of the universe has revealed Himself to us. Imagine that. He has revealed Himself to us. There are those, obviously, in this world that are still in darkness and have no revelation of God. They're sitting in darkness today because they have no concept of God, or they refuse the idea, even, of God. But God has revealed Himself on this earth. God revealed Himself to Abraham, right? God came to Abraham, spoke to Abraham, chose him to journey to a far land and to give him a promise and to make a covenant with him. He called Israel. He called Israel to be His people and rescue them from bondage. He moved on their behalf. He heard their cries, and He opened up the Red Sea. He gave them a land. He gave them a promise. He gave them a covenant to always be there with them and for them, to work on their behalf, to save them, to rescue them. He revealed Himself. He revealed Himself through Israel to the whole world. Time and time again, Israel, we know their issues, we know their problems, we know their rebellion, over and over again. And in their rebellion, they suppressed the knowledge of God as God was working to show the nations who He was through the people of Israel. But Israel oftentimes suppressed the glory of God by going after other gods and desiring them and worshiping them and giving them glory as opposed to giving the great God of heaven and earth and all creation, and refusing to give God glory. Yet God kept His promise. God kept His promise to His people. And He sent a son, right? He sent His son, His one and only. He sent His son. And the Son of God reveals the glory of God to Israel, first to Israel and then to the whole world. As He said, first I've come, Jesus says, first I've come to Israel, but then also to the whole world. John 3:16 tells us the plan, right? John 3:16 tells us the plan. It says, for God so loved the world, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's plan is put forth. And God has given us a way of salvation. Jesus is the salvation for the world. God is a savior. That's his DNA. That's who he is. He longs to save. He has the power to save, and he saves. He saves. This is for our redemption, and it's for his glory. His glory. See, no one compares to Jehovah because he is the one who saves. That's who he is. That's one of his names. He is the God who saves. Acts 4:12 tells us very clearly that salvation is found in no one else. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Only God saves. Only the blood of Christ brings redemption. One of the names of God is Jehovah Yasha. Now, whether I'm saying that Hebrew name correctly or not, I don't know. But that is the Hebrew for the God who saves. That's who he is. God has many names in the Bible, and they all tell something about who he is, and they reveal his glory. Yasha, the Hebrew verb, means to save, to deliver, to rescue. And when combined with Jehovah, it has a deeply personal declaration, and the declaration is the God who saves, the Lord. He is the Lord who has rescued me. That's who he is. He has rescued us. See, David, taking hold of this name in the psalm, actually in 2 Samuel, and I'll just read this. In 2 Samuel, David sings a song to God. He sings a song to the Lord. It says, David sang the song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from his enemies and from Saul. Because we know that Saul chased after David, trying to kill him over and over and over again. Saul became an enemy to David, though David respected him and honored him as the king. And David celebrates as his enemies are defeated. God has defeated his enemies. And he sings this in 2 Samuel 22. He sings, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. He is my refuge, my savior, the one who saves me from violence. I called on the Lord. He is worthy of praise. And he saved me from my enemies." Over and over again, he talks about this Jehovah Yasha, the one who saves, the one who rescues. And he exalts God. You see, David experienced the God who saved him, the God who rescued him. And in experiencing this, he was getting revelation of God. God was revealing himself to David by the actions God was taking and watching over David. And he was experiencing these things, and he goes into song. See, he goes into worship. See, that's what's right and good about worship, is that when we know our God, when we understand and we receive the revelation of God, no matter how, whether we have little revelation or we have much revelation, it is right and good to give him praise. That's our response. Our response to God is, God, you have revealed yourself to us. Now may I praise you. Now may I glorify you. Now may I sing a song about who you are. Sing a song to your name. The revelation of God turns into a song sung for generations, as David has left this song for us today, that we can exalt God with him. We can join with the saints of old, and we can sing the song to God and say, "Hallelujah, God, you're the one who saves. And you're still saving today." God reveals himself to David, and David gives glory to God in celebratory worship. You know, God reveals himself in many ways. In many ways, God reveals himself. God reveals himself to us in creation. Let's look at Psalm 19, verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. God's creation, his handiwork, the intricacies of all that he has done as he has brought forth life and created life and sustained life. And he gives us life today. God is revealed by his creation. God's revealed by the amazing intricacies, order, and the grandeur of creation and all its beauty. That's why I think sometimes we should take more time, like people of old, when you didn't have electricity. People of old would just sit on their porches under the nighttime sky and have conversations about God. Just have a Bible study right there and just talk about how amazing is this God. How awesome is he? I mean, think about it. So much of science, even though a lot of scientists today would not give glory to God, many scientists over generations have. Because as they did their science, they were seeing the handiwork of God and they gave God glory. Louis Pasteur, 19th century chemist, you might know him from the term pasteurizing, our milk and pasteurizing drink. And he was the one who created microbiology, in essence, because he found those little microorganisms that make us sick. And then he actually started helping some processes of how to deal with those microorganisms that make us sick or that spoil milk and do different things. But Louis Pasteur, 19th century chemist, said this. He says, the more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator. Science brings men nearer to God. If you truly understand who is the Creator and all the handiwork of his hands, you sit there and realize, wait a minute, there has to be a God. There has to be. Even Albert Einstein, who was not a dedicated Christian, would say, absolutely, it's absurd to think anything else, that there is a creator behind this great creation. And I think he was the one that said, if there was just my thumb to look at, and that's all I had to look at, I would have the revelation that there has to be a great creator behind all of this. The devil's working overtime, whether it's science, whether it's education, wherever it is, to try to cloud out the glory of God, to try to cover the glory of God, to try to dim down who this awesome God, our awesome God, really is. As you see so much in culture, it's the work of the devil, trying to push God out of our society, out of our culture, out of our sphere, our public sphere. But God will have his glory. He will have his glory. And we see so much evidence that even as the devil is at work, God is also at work. And he is revealing himself even in the midst of this work taking place to cover or cloud out the glory of God. You know, I think it's so essential for the body of Christ to be very aware of the glory of God and to give everything for the glory of God, our talents, our abilities that God has given us. Maybe even a platform, if it was big or small or whatever it is, sometimes the platform might be you talking to one other person and the influence you have on that one other person. But you do. You have influence. You have seeds to sow. You have testimonies to give. You have revelation of God. Everybody in this room has revelation of God. There is no one here who does not have revelation of God, okay? So never take the idea of like, oh, you know, I don't know much about God. Never say that. God has revealed himself to you, and he obviously opens a door. He says, there's more. There's more. Keep coming to you. Keep coming to him, because he wants to reveal himself more and more to you. He's a God who wants and desires to reveal himself more and more. So whether we're in our workplace, we're in our homes, we're with our families, we all have the choice to live for him. We all do. We can choose him and live for him. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says that whatever we do, whatever we do, it says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything. How does your life, how is my life, how is your life built? How is your life made? Does it give God glory? Is that the way your life is structured? Is that the way your heart beats? So whatever we do in life, our perspective is to give God glory. That's what we're called to do. This puts him first above all else. Above all else, it puts him first. The reality is, God is glorious. With or without us, right? He, all by himself. He doesn't necessarily need us. He is glorious all by himself, but he chooses to use us to be part of this revelation of him on the earth today. That we're a part of revealing his glory and even, yes, containing his glory. Now, we may contain just a little bit of it because we can't hold. We're not possible. In these broken earthen vessels, we cannot begin to even hold the fullness of God, but yet God is in us. He's in us. He doesn't overwhelm us. He could, right? He lives in an unsurpassing light. But yet, he reveals himself to us and he lives within us. He reveals himself. And we are to move and live and have our being in him. We're to reflect his glory. And we're to point people to God. Do you ever think about that? That's on purpose. I'm purposed to point people to God. And we have to stop saying, oh, me, little old me, oh, what can I do really to point people to God? But we're all purposed to point people to God with your very life, your very story of what God has done in you and through you. We're all called to be citizens of his kingdom. We're all called to be citizens. And in belonging to God's kingdom, we first and foremost honor the king. That's something we have to get. We have to know that. We have to learn to make sure our lives honor the king, because we're citizens of the kingdom and he's the king and we are to honor him. Philippians 2 verse 9 speaks to this. He says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To his glory. To his glory. Over and over again, I see it in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, to his glory. So we willingly bow our knee. We willingly lay our crowns at his feet. Because by doing so, we proclaim amongst all the millions and billions of people who've proclaimed Jesus as Lord and Savior, we join in them and say, you are Lord God Almighty. I bow down to you. I belong to you. My life belongs to you. See, citizens of heaven give glory to the king. The king has his kingdom, and we are it. We are the king. We are the kingdom, and it's growing and it's expanding every day as the revelation of God is filling this earth. As Scripture tells us, it will fill every corner of this earth, and he will be glorified in every corner in this earth, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. He will be glorified. And so we join with those who've come before us and with us today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're citizens of heaven to give honor to the king, exalting his name. We have to know and learn this. It's so important, this honor, this glory to God, because it's one of those values of the kingdom that never changes. The values of the kingdom don't ever change. But this is saying, this is a kingdom value that as citizens of his kingdom, we must learn. It's so important to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, because we're learning the ways of God. And in heaven, there's honor. And he says, but all of earth, right? All of earth shall shout and declare his glory. All of earth. You know, it's what Jesus did. Jesus showed us the way. When he came to earth, his whole purpose, his whole life was to give glory to the Father. Out of obedience, out of his whole life, that he would give glory and honor to the Father. He lived to honor the Father. He lived in obedience to the Father. And he showed us how to live in connection with God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says, The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Honor. Glory. That is a heavenly language, because that's what's being spoken in heaven. That's what's being spoken. And as citizens of heaven, as citizens of this kingdom, this is a language that we are to know. We're to know this language of honor and glory. You know, Jesus does this. He radiates the glory of the Father and shows us the very character of God. And the Father glorifies the Son. The Father glorifies the Son by raising him to the seat of honor at his right hand, to rule and to reign, to be sovereign over all creation. It's a language of heaven. And this language conveys honor and glory. And if we miss this, if we miss this language, this that's filling up the scriptures, that's filling us up and showing us how heaven operates, how this language is being spoken, if we miss this kingdom language, we won't understand the culture of heaven. We won't. Because we're missing the language of heaven. Language shows forth culture. And when we don't comprehend heavenly culture, oftentimes it's because we're so imbibed with worldly culture. We're so familiar with this culture here on earth and how it's, yes, it's distinctly different, but because of that, we don't often comprehend heaven's culture. So we have to learn. We have to learn the cultural values of the kingdom. It's so important, and honor and glory is one of those values. You know, really our participation, because we're invited into this participation of the divine nature of God. He invites us into that. And in order to really step into that is to learn to give God glory with our lives, to reflect his goodness and to reflect his character in the world. So do you think about this? Do we ever think? I mean, this may not be a thought of your day, but let it be today. How do we give glory to God? How do you give glory to God? How is it that we do this? Well, I think first and foremost, it's important not to be nonchalant, right, about God. To think upon him. To meditate upon him. The Bible says think upon him, right? Meditate upon his greatness. Think about him. Set your gaze upon him. You know, forget all the things of this world. Because sometimes we get so caught up in the things of this world, we don't think much about God, and we don't think about much about the ways of God. And so we get caught up so much in the ways of this world. But God says, be citizens of heaven, who, yes, you live on this earth, but don't be of this earth. And so we think differently. We process differently. And God teaches us and reveals himself to us. Now, each of us has revelation of God, but we can continue to grow in our revelation of God. We can know him more and more every day. Again, the world cannot give glory because it does not know God, but we know God. And those who know God, it's important that we do give him glory. We must not hide him from others. So how do we get revelation? Well, as you can imagine, all the things that we say, we read the scriptures, right? We look into the scriptures and say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, show me more of who you are. We do so in prayer, in our talking with God, our conversations with God, hearing God. We do so in joining with others, in pursuing God, You know, today I hope that's what we're here for. We're here together to pursue God, to worship Him, to know Him more. Right? We're not just here to check off a box. We're here to know God more. We get revelation when we trust God. The more we trust God and lean upon Him and don't lean upon our own understanding, but lean upon Him, we'll get more revelation of God because we're leaning upon Him and we're not standing afar from Him, just trusting in our own understanding. I get revelation by trusting God. We get revelation by serving God, by serving Him, by saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I serve you?" We will know Him more by serving Him. When we submit our lives to be utilized in a manner that gives Him glory. You know, I will see more. We will see more of God as we give ourselves more to Him. And we'll have stories to tell. We all have stories to tell. And we need to tell them. We have stories, and God, wake us up to recognize your work in us and through us and around us, that we would see you every day more clearly. And we learn more of God when we pursue Him. So we're called to give Him glory. You know, giving God glory is to point to Him. Right? Is to point to Him. I love the story of this Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, because I'm a Steelers fan, and I know not many people probably even care. I know Ken, we got one. Oh wait. Okay, wait. All right. We're becoming sanctified in this church. we got 3-4 people. Woo. Yeah. Well. Yeah, well, we got your quarterback. God is glorified even in sometimes the simplest things. Okay, backup quarterback for Pittsburgh Steelers. Hardly ever plays. I mean, the guy doesn't get a play. I mean, you know, he's actually thinking about quitting. He's like, "I'm not playing. I'm not doing any good. I've been doing this. I've been the backup quarterback for years now. And there's no glory in the backup quarterback, okay? There's just no glory." So the main name doesn't mean for a lot of you guys, but Mason Rudolph. Sitting there, been on the bench all year long, hasn't gotten to play. Nobody cares about this guy because he's not even the backup quarterback. He's the backup to the backup this year. So he's not moving ahead. He's moving backwards. And so there's no glory at all because nobody even knows. You never get on TV unless they pan over to the real star, then you're sitting beside the real star. So that's the only time you even get on TV because you accidentally got on TV. There's no glory. But here he is at the end of the season. Finally, he gets his chance because I forget, it was like the quarterback got benched or hurt. He was the last one left. He was like the last one standing in the quarterback room. And he gets his chance. He goes in, and they win the game. He actually plays a really good game. They win the game. And a big reason why was because he played so well. And, of course, you know, they always like to get the quarterback, the star, at the end of the game. They do the interview. And the interview was like the lady was saying, "So, Mason, how did you do it? How did you do it? How did it feel? You've been sitting on the bench all year long, and now you've got your time to shine. How does it feel?" And then Mason just calmly said, "Well, first and foremost, I give all glory to the Lord, my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ." Didn't miss a beat. Now, I didn't know Mason, you know, and I think probably over these last several years, he's grown closer to the Lord, because then there's some stories that came out about him, how he had struggled, how he was thinking about, you know, just quitting football, and he didn't quit. And he said that was kind of a time of struggle, but the Lord was actually drawing him closer to Him. And it was so good that he didn't sit there and said, "You know what? I deserve this. I'm pretty good, and I wish people would recognize that, because you know what? I deserve a big paycheck. I deserve some fame. I deserve," you know, he just forgot and left all that. And said, in that moment, in that platform, he just said, "No, I give all glory to Jesus Christ." You know, our central attitude in life should be to give God glory. Our talents, our gifts, everything that we are, all that we, you know, any wealth that we have, anything that we have in our hands that God has blessed us with and given us, let it be for the glory of God. Okay, I'm going to even go way younger. I'm going to talk about somebody that nobody's heard here probably. Anybody heard of Dude Perfect? Exactly. Your grandkids or those of the younger generation would know this because the young generation is crazy about these. Basically, it was these college buddies got together and decided to do lots of tricks and basketball, shooting hoops from like the top of stadiums and down like, you know, 300 feet below and making baskets and all this kind of stuff that just seems sometimes senseless, but they've made a career out of it because God put his hand on them and blessed them richly and brought them into incredible favor. And so my kids are going to this, the Dude Perfect, and they're going to the show. And there's thousands of people at the show, thousands of kids and moms who brought the kids at the show. Thousands, thousands. It's in a stadium. Because now these people are so well known, and they are like multi-millionaire. I mean, it's crazy. And they were YouTube sensations. So you guys don't know about it, but I guarantee you the young generation knows who these people are. They buy their shirts. They mean it, all this kind of stuff. And at the end of the show, though, after they do all the trick shots and the blowing things up and all the crazy stuff that they do, at the end of the show, they come out and they share and say, you know what? All the kids, they say, you know what? We're ordinary guys. We met years ago at college and we had this big idea and then we tried it out and all of a sudden it was like, wow, God blessed it incredibly. And he says, we are not here except by the favor of God. They said very clearly, we are not these amazing people. We are normal guys who God's hand is upon us and the favor of God has brought us to this place. And then they led an altar call, said, anybody who wants to accept Jesus Christ, we want to pray with you right now. You see, it's not about their fame and their glory. They're multi-millionaires right now. It's crazy what they get to do. They get to meet with famous people like all kinds of, like Tom, they were throwing football with Tom Brady and doing tricks with Tom Brady, and they meet all kinds of famous people because of their fame. But they give glory to God. God gave them a platform, and they're saying, this is not for us. This is not for us. It's for his glory. Whatever God gives us in life, it doesn't have to be a big platform. It could just be the person sitting in front of us. Give him glory. Matthew 5, verse 14. This is speaking about us, the church. It says, you are the light of the world, Jesus speaking here. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine, right? It's not just a children's song that you sang learning and growing up, but let your light shine before all men. Don't put it under a basket. So we share what God has done for us. You know, that's the way we're to live, to shine the light of Christ into the world. You know, there must be evidence, right? That we know him. There must be evidence in our life that we know him. The knowledge of God in us needs to profoundly shape our lives. And so it's not just the knowledge, it's the continuous growth of knowledge, you see? It's not static. That's why we are to grow in our knowledge of God today. He's still revealing himself on the earth today, and he's still revealing himself to us. But we're not to hide. We're not to hide our lamp, our light, because when we do so, we're hiding his glory. Don't do that, church. Don't hide his glory. His glory is to shine in us and through us to all the world. That's honor, right? We're to give him honor. It's dishonor to hide the light. It's dishonor. So we're not speaking the language of heaven when we do that. But to speak the language of heaven is let the light shine. God is glorified by those who reveal their knowledge of God to others. Those who will tell the stories of the goodness of God. It's so important that we do so. So consider the day. Consider this today is what revelation do you have of God? Because he has revealed himself to you. What revelation do you have of God? Has God healed you? Has God healed you? Then you know God as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He's revealed himself. He's revealed that aspect of himself to you. He's touched you, or he's healed people you know. He's healed friends. He's healed family. He's healed people that you know. And in hearing their testimonies, receive the glory of God, because God is healing today. Has he provided for you? Has he been your provision? Do you know God is Jehovah Jireh, your provider? Has he given you provisions in your life? Then you have revelation. You have some revelation of God. And you could tell of the stories of how God has provided for you throughout your life. Has God been there in dark times in your life? In dark times. Then you know God as Jehovah Shammah, the God who's there. The God whose presence is there with you in that place of darkness, in that place of hard times, in that place of hurt, in that place of pain. Recount those times to others. In fact, Mark, he shared with us this morning just a powerful story. And I know it's brief, but I just want him to share how God met him in a time of darkness, how God was not only his Jehovah Shammah, but his Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Do you mind doing that, Mark? You might have to just, I don't know if you step over here, but just what you shared with this morning. All that you do, just what you shared this morning.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, hold it close.
Hold it close.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My wife got very ill spiritually and had to put her in the hospital. And I was so broken and went home. I was just laying on the floor, just trying to figure out what's going on. And then I called out to God, where's that peace I deserve? And where is my peace? And all of a sudden, I wasn't there on the floor. I was surrounded. And best I can say it is pure light. And I felt peace, I felt love, and I felt joy. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. You're good.
But that love of God is just so good and so merciful. And that when you're in your darkest thing, God will come to you.
Yes, he will. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for sharing. I thought it was just a powerful story. But you see what he is doing? He's revealing the glory of God. God met him in a hard time where his wife was in the hospital and things weren't looking good. And you say, God, right? And you don't. There's times, God, I don't have peace. Shouldn't I have peace? I need, like, Lord. And you call upon the God. You call upon the God, right? Whatever you have need of, you call upon God, and he's there. He is there for us. Sometimes we don't see clearly, and I love it because it was like God. He's just. It was just a surrounding you in the fullness of his raiment. And what a blessing that life can change just like that. Just by the revelation of God to us. But I love it because we tell of the stories, and I just feel like it's giving God glory for who he is. Because what God has done for Mark, he will do for others, countless others. Say, call upon the name of the Lord. He is there. He is there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's done so much for us. He's forgiven us. He's saved us. He's redeemed us. He's delivered us out of the hands of the enemy. We have so much to give him glory. So recount, 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 and then give him glory. Give him honor. Don't hide what God has done. We're to shine a light into this world. Our lives are purposed in him. Hallelujah. That's the blessing of being called sons and daughters. That we're his. We're his own. He calls us his own. He saved us to bless us, yes, and to redeem us for all eternity, and to reveal his glory on earth, because his work is not done. His work is not done. He's still working today. And all those who call upon his name have the glorious opportunity to be his hands, his feet, to represent him on this earth. We're purposed for God and called to give him glory. You know, And the good news, at the end of our lives, He will raise us up. He will raise us up. Because just as He did with Jesus, and Jesus was raised up in glory and given a glorified body, we too will be given glorified bodies. And we will spend all eternity walking on streets of gold. All eternity in His glorious raiment, all His in His glorious presence. I think that's pretty awesome, pretty wonderful. So today, we have to say, wow, Lord, wow. You are awesome, You are great. And so today we have to consider, how do we honor the King? Will we honor Him today? Will we honor Him with our lives? Will we honor Him this week? Will we even make some changes in our lives that would bring honor to His name with all that we are and all that we can be for the King?